everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Here we are. It is October 8th, 2013, and it's pretty lovely here in New York. The air's got a little chill in it. It's happening. The seasons are changing, and we're now officially looking at fall, and I'm looking out the window, and the leaves are doing that beautiful color-changing thing, and I'm enjoying it. Well, what are we going to talk about today? You know we're always talking about food. And one of the things that I try and do on this show is connect the dots and help everyone think about our food, which is so essential to all of our lives, and how it connects to so many things, especially health, environment, and where our food comes from. And what do we think about it? I think we don't think enough about it, and that's one of the things that I do on this show is talk about food and try and stir up some interest on a lot of different topics that are related to food. Well, I think we're going to get to the core in this next half hour, and I want to bring on my first guest. Adrian Boutash is the author of Bless This Food, a well-known marketing and advertising professional. He studied history and culture of the world at Fordham University. He lives in Santa Barbara, California. And his website is adrianarts.com. Welcome to It's All About Food, Adrian.
Karen, thank you so much. Looking forward to our chat, and say hello to you, your staff, and your listeners.
Thank you. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes, you did, Karen.
Thank you. Good. I always want to make sure I get it right. You know, we live in such a global environment, and the letters don't give us enough information sometimes about how they want to be pronounced.
Right. No, my biggest problem with the name Adrian is I often get mail addressed to Mr. or Miss.
Oh, yeah.
So it comes with the territory.
Okay. Well, you know, and I'm getting off tangents now, but there are some languages with the sir, with the titles that don't even suggest gender. So.
And true.
Yes, and doesn't matter. Anyway, let's talk about food. So this is a fascinating little book, Bless This Food. And I guess originally it came out in the 90s, and then you've had some reprinting since then?
Right. We now have just issued the paperback version, and the book is identical to the hardcover. Of course, it's less expensive. Mm-hmm. And we're very happy about what's going on. And the book is surging forward. We have some other plans for the book. We've had some suggestions to make it into an ongoing radio show, part of which today is going to be an exemplar. So,
okay,
again, thank you for your interest.
Well, I always want to help do my part to make this world a better place. And one of the things that I see as a big issue, especially in the United States, is we have a huge disconnect with our food, where it comes from, how it's made, what's involved from the moment something that is going to be food becomes something, and all the manipulations before it gets to our plate.
Right.
And people, most people have no idea today, where it used to be such an integral part of everyday lives in early humanity, most of humanity up until recently. And I think it's to our detriment. And when
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so this book, I think, is a great tool to get us to start thinking about our food, and then it can open up so many conversations.
Well, I also salute you with your responsible eating and living program, and the benefits of a plant-based diet, because as we look through, particularly in my book, the history of food always has celebrated plant-based foods, and particularly corn. There are many number of wonderful poems and blessings about corn and plant diet.
You know, I'm not a religious person. I'm an agnostic, maybe an atheist-leaning agnostic, but I respect everyone's beliefs. And there's a lot of rich history and culture in the variety of religions, and there are things that we can learn from all of them. And one prayer that I'm very familiar with is one that's in your book. It's on page 28, prayer 5. And at the end, it talks about the delicious fruits of the earth. And it's from the Essenes, which you write were probably strict vegetarians. And, and it made me think about how many of the prayers really talk about the fruits or the vegetables or the bread. Most of the time they're talking about plant foods.
Well, indeed. One of the classics is in one of my classic blessings here. It's from a contemporary father, Father John Giuliani, and it's very short, four lines. Bless our hearts to hear in the breaking of bread the song of the universe. That's exquisite poetry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, now, you may know, I promote a plant-based diet. I'm a vegan, and I encourage everyone to eat more fruits and vegetables because there's so many benefits in doing so.
Right.
But I noticed that in many prayers, like I just mentioned, they talk about fruits, vegetables, but I don't think we see very often, unless it's like a Native American Indian prayer or maybe an Indian prayer, where they really talk about the animal that we're taking.
You mean the grievance of eating meat?
Yes.
Versus a plant-based diet?
Yes. How often do we see that in prayers?
I don't see much about meat. I see a lot about bread because bread is very sacred, and corn, which is, you know, from the millennia, the primary food that people would grow and survive.
Mm-hmm. Well, there could be a number of reasons for that, and it could be, for a long time, humanity ate mostly from plants, and it's only recently that we're eating so many more animal products than we used to.
Right.
Or it could be this thing that I talk about all the time where we're really uncomfortable with taking the life of a sentient being and don't know how to deal with it, so we just avoid it.
Right. Well, for example, there's a wonderful blessing in here that comes from John Greenleaf Whittier, and it's the corn song. It's a prayer to a blessing about corn. If I may just read it, short line. Thank you. Heap high the farmer's wintry hoard, heap high the golden corn. No richer gift has autumn poured from out her lavish horn. But let the gold crop adorn the hills our fathers trod. Still let us, for his golden corn, send up our thanks to God. That's John Greenleaf Whittier, and that's from the 1800s. Wonderful, wonderful prayer.
Mm-hmm. I wish so many things, but I think if people took the time to bless their food, to think about their food, we'd be in a lot better place. If we even just talk about corn, and there's so many horrific things going on with corn today, where there used to be so many different varieties, and now we're monocropping here in the United States. We're really decreasing the diversity of the kinds of corn, and then, of course, there's genetically modified corn, and then we're making sweet sugar corn syrup out of corn rather than using it in its whole healthy form.
Yes. Understood. Well, that whole issue that you're so expert on, food and responsible eating and living and processing and the benefits of plant-based diet, is certainly commendable. I embrace it, and it's also something that's been a substance of society since we've been on this blessed earth.
I've dog-eared a lot of pages in this book because there were so many different ones that I really, really enjoyed. But when I first picked it up, I started thinking about my personal experience with prayers before a meal, saying grace, and it's something that we don't really do very much in our culture today. And the few times that I've been at someone's dinner table where they naturally either closed their eyes, held hands, quietly said words to themselves, or said something, often it was uncomfortable.
Well, that's a very, very interesting point. And one of the reasons I did this book was I wanted to be able to bring the child to the table. And if the child can read, you can give this book to a child, and suddenly, instead of being a quiet member at the table, they can be the shining star. And it's a wonderful experience. I've had lots of mail from people about the book and how the children have used it at the prayer before meal.
I'm reading Prayer 13, Teachings of the Buddha. If beings knew as I know the result of giving and sharing, they would not eat without having given, nor would they allow the stain of meanness to obsess them and take root in their minds. Even if it were their last morsel, their last mouthful, they would not enjoy eating without having shared it if there were someone to share it with.
That's a lovely, lovely poem. And, of course, it's a classic that goes back to the 5th century B.C. One of the things about this particular prayer is the Buddha is under the Bodhi tree. So if you think of the tree with its roots in heaven and its branches reaching down to earth with the fruit on the branches, what a wonderful piece of symbolism.
Mm. Okay, so you've had great experience with this book over the years, and how do we get this into more people's hands so that they can say some of these words, kind of reach back into history and forward into the future and realize our connection with earth, air, water, food, all life on earth, and have a better appreciation for it?
Well, of course, it comes through the book system, which today is now online, thank goodness, so people like you and your program can promulgate Bless This Food as a wonderful family book that includes children in the circle of experience at the dining table.
Well, part of the problem is we've got to get people to the table. People don't know where their kitchen is anymore, and they're not eating at the table very often.
That's true. Well, maybe the book can be the locus of interest. I'm particularly pleased also, for example, when you have a guest at a meal, to give the book to the guest, and suddenly, you know, they become the hero of that meal, which is a wonderful experience for any visitor.
Yeah, I don't say grace or bless my food, but I'm more motivated now to take a moment to think about it. Sometimes I like to, on this show and at other times, have people imagine or just think for a moment where their food comes, whatever it is.
Right.
It's almost a game. Because today it is so complicated. Let's start with a seed. And the person involved with planting the seed and all of the people that are involved in nurturing it and growing it and all the machines that are involved and who created those machines and the companies involved with the machines, the fertilizers. There's just so many different businesses now that are involved at every step, harvesting, shipping, packaging, traveling, and then going somewhere else and being transformed into something else and then having that packaged and shipped. And there's just so many people in one morsel of food.
Well, it's true. It certainly is a mechanized and vast industry. It's essential to get food to everyone. But I think one of the things that's lovely is the notion of harvest. Mm-hmm. And, for example, I have two prayers in the book, prayer 125 and 141. And if I may, one is an English traditional hymn. Here, for the hay and the corn and the wheat that is reaped, for the labor well done and the barns that are heaped, for the sun and the dew and the sweet honeycomb, for the rose and the song and the harvest brought home, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. That's an English traditional hymn, and with Thanksgiving around the corner, it's probably one of the more lovely poems that covers a wide base. And may I do Nancy Bird Turner's prayer?
Mm-hmm.
This is prayer 141. It's very short, but it's lovely. Thank God for home and crisp fair weather and loving hearts that meet together, and red ripe fruit and golden grain, and dear Thanksgiving, come again. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite meal and favorite time of year.
Oh, absolutely.
So it partly motivated me for writing this book. If I may, I'll tell you just a brief reason how the book came to be.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. I was in Harvard Square one day doing work. This is back in 2008. And I decided, it was about this time of year, and I decided to want to find this book. So I went to the wider library, which is 21 universities connected around the world. Long story short, I typed in the query for this book. And it kept coming back, consult the Mahabharata, and all these obscure tracks that I'd heard about, but it was certainly wasn't going to read. And I had that ding-dong moment, I think I'll write this nice little book. And that's how it came about.
Well,
couldn't find what I wanted.
Well, I like a lot of different things about it. And one of the things we are having a problem with, I don't want to bring politics up, but obviously I'm bringing it up. We're having this thing right now with our two parties, Democrats and Republicans, and they can't agree. They can't come to the table and align on things that they agree upon. And this could be a step. And there's just so many references about sharing and that breaking bread concept. We all share so many essential things. And if we could acknowledge that and be grateful for that, I think we could move forward in so many ways.
Well, I agree, and that's words well said. The other thing that I like about some of the prayers I found, and I'll read this one last one, is the companionship that comes from having friends at the table. Mm-hmm. And the prayer 57 is from Cheng Kung Sui. It's dated in 273 A.D. That's 1,700 years ago.
Wow.
But listen to this. It's wonderful. I sent out invitations to summon guests. I collected together all my friends, loud talk and ample feeling, discussion of philosophy, investigation of subtleties, tongues loosened and minds at one, hearts refreshed by discharge of emotion. That's, to me, it's so lovely. I mean, Chinese culture is the oldest living civilization in the world. And here they're talking about having friends over and good discussion. There's nothing about religion here. It's all about the friendship that comes with people over and by
and
what
and tongues loosened. I love that line.
I'm sure by sake or something.
Mm-hmm.
But hearts refreshed by discharge of emotion. That notion is so beautiful. You know, you want to get your piece out and share it with the people at the table with you. But so the book is, you know, a wide-ranging examination of why we should be thankful, how to bring children to the table and give them a role. And you realize that throughout history, blessing food and being thankful for survival has been an integral part of this wonderful existence on Earth.
Yes. I grew up on Long Island near Huntington, where Walt Whitman was born. So I especially enjoyed Prayer 77 by Walt Whitman.
Uh-huh.
How beautiful and perfect are the animals, how perfect the earth, and the minutest thing on it, what is called good is perfect, and what is called bad is just as perfect. The vegetables and minerals are all perfect, and the imponderable fluids perfect. Slowly and surely they have passed on to this, and slowly and surely they pass on. I swear I think there is nothing but immortality.
That's lovely. I'm also from Long Island. I was raised in Hempstead and know Huntington well, and you're part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm in California, the land of the eternal sun here, and I actually do love it.
I call California the promised land.
Go west, young woman. Go west.
Yes, well, I've lived there a number of times, and I may get back there again. But just like all places, things change.
Well, that's true. If I may say one other thing, in the book I have two signed blessings, hand signed, American Sign Language, including one for a child. And so that is another aspect of the book, the grace in sign language, ASL, American Sign Language, an adult grace and a child's grace. I've got a lot of mail over the years on how much fun it is to pass the book around and have a child do the blessings by American Sign Language. It's very easy to do.
I like that, and I think I'm going to bring this along to Thanksgiving, which I think it's many people's favorite holiday, and certainly in the vegetarian vegan community, it is the major holiday because we're so food obsessed in this community. And there are some symbols that come with the holiday that we choose to change for obvious reasons. But I think it's because many of us are so focused on food and the importance of food and where it comes from and how important it is to be thankful. And so frustrating to know how many people today are suffering from poor health because they're not being mindful about their food and what it is they're eating and what it is they're putting in their bodies. And if they were grateful for where it came from and thought about where it came from and what was in it and whether it was real or not. And these prayers, these blessings talk about real food. They're not talking about manufactured food.
True, and, true.
That's what we're thankful for, the real food.
Karen, if I just may say one other thing. In the back of the book, I have Bless This Food, the short title, in 19 languages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun because, for example, in Latin, which I do not speak, Benedictum hunc sibum is Bless This Food. And in Spanish, Bendita sea esta comida. And in French, Béni ce repas.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, you know, if you can memorize three words in a different language, you can be a hero at the table.
That's a lovely thing. And not just say hello, goodbye, and where are the toilets, but you can say,
exactly.
Bless this food. I really like that. So I just wanted to talk a little bit more about you, just because going to your website, adrianarts.com, I see that this isn't food-related, but it's lovely, and I thought worth mentioning. So you do sculpture.
Yes.
And,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I love music. I'm a singer and certainly appreciate it, all things musical, and see these beautiful sculptures you've done in the shape of a piano.
Right. I did those a number of years ago, and I sell maybe three or four sculptures, 36 inches in marble or granite, a custom order. And adrianarts.com has my activities, and I'm actually going to New York in about a month. I have a 6-foot piano sculpture at Steinway, and we're going to decide what we're going to do with it. probably donate it to Lincoln Center or something, you know, something big. But it's very interesting, and pianists like Billy Joel and some others had my sculpture. So the piano is something I was raised with. We had two in the house. We had a concert grand and an upright. But one of the things about ideas and creativity and artistry, which you know well, is your mind is input with images and important things to you mostly, but you can't process that until years and years. So this is something that was in my psyche as a child, the piano, and eventually I did a sculpture of it, and the sculptures are copyrighted.
Well, I'm looking at some of the pictures, and there's something really lovely about the shape of a piano in ways that I've never thought of before.
Right.
It's somewhat heart-shaped.
Well, it has that very seductive curve that if the piano's up, the left side is straight and the right side is very lyrical. It echoes everything that's divine in the world.
I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. So anything else we can talk about in Bless This Food before I let you go?
Well, I think you've covered the subject very nicely. I wanted to thank you very much. And I've been to your website and seen the good work that you're doing. And I support you with the benefits of the plant-based diet. And I've got quite a few food blessings that cover your domain. And I'm particularly proud of the fact that I get a lot of mail about children being able to read at the table of the book, including the classic hand-printed thank you, Mr. Butash, you know, with the letters going different ways.
Yeah,
a letter from children that the parents have used the book to force the child or to suggest to the child that they write the author, which is something I never did till I was an adult, you know, write an author.
Mm-hmm. And many people still don't do that to this day, but it's a lovely thing, and you probably like receiving mail.
Well, of course, it's always a surprise to see the envelope return address with a name you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what is this? And somebody saying lovely things. Who doesn't like that?
Well, also, particularly if it's handwritten, you know, everything today is so mechanized and printed.
Yes.
And you know, we can throw the trash mail away just by looking at how the envelope is formed. But there's nothing like handwriting and talking one-on-one, human to human. It's something lovely that this book has shown me and given me great, great satisfaction with.
Yes, so I recommend everyone to get to their table more often. First, find your kitchen, make some lovely food, invite some wonderful people, and sit down at the table. Put your smartphones away. No texting of your prayers. Look at each other. Hold everyone's hands and really think about where your food is coming from. It just may change everything for the better.
Well, let me close on again, Father Giuliani.
Mm.
Bless our hearts to hear in the breaking of bread the song of the universe. That is such a beautiful blessing. And again, I believe Father Giuliani is in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So a lot of my prayers are thousands of years old. The good old Father Giuliani did a very lovely prayer that's likening bread to the song of the universe. Exquisite poetry.
Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food, Adrian. And let's bless all of our food and get this message out there. It's so important.
Thank you, Ms. Heartglass. I love your program and your interview. Thank you.
All the best.
Bye.
All right, it's time for a little break. So let's bless this program, shall we, as we're talking about food, and be grateful for all the things that we can take the time and learn about so that we can all make a positive difference on this planet. Why not? So we're going to come back in a moment and talk to me, Tracy McCormick. She's got a very compelling story about how she healed herself from Crohn's disease with My Kitchen Cure. We'll be right back.